Chapter 15 of Falling in Love While Working from Home by Mary Kay Tillman. April 17th, 2020, 11:45 a.m. Jessica, surrounded by romance. Because there's no real eye contact on Zoom, I have trouble figuring out a lot of what's going on in our daily editorial meetings. If it weren't for the way the box is light up with a yellow and green frame, I might not even be able to tell who's talking. It's weird the way everybody is kind of looking out at me, but since they're looking at their screens and not at their cameras, our eyes never meet. I've kept my eye on Dan through the whole meeting. He's unusually quiet. He's kept his focus on notes he's writing instead of the speakers. And yet, I have the feeling sometimes he's looking at me. After yesterday, I only want to be with him, to make sure he's feeling better today. Although, how could he? He's taking the deaths of his friends so hard. I felt honored that Dan let me be the one who comforted him. I only wish he'd let me put some of what he said to me in my article, or offer his opinion to the whole group. We're all working on a tribute page to run in Sunday's paper. A firefighter, a nurse, a couple of retired corporate executives, a lawyer, and a pair of old folks who loved each other and baseball. It occurs to me I don't know what Dan's working on. I'm not sure when we stopped being a team, but as much as I resented it a month ago, now I miss the camaraderie that came out of what was a pretty nasty introduction. While Rashima talks about the restaurant owner who has announced she's closing her once thriving night spot, I watch Claire. She wears her usual scowl, occasionally jots something down, and then taps her cheek with her pen. It occurs to me she's signaling the speaker to wrap it up so the meeting can move on. As soon as she does it, Rashima, who was telling a really good story, stops in mid-sentence. "I'll leave the rest for you to read in tomorrow's paper," she finishes. "Sunday's paper," Claire corrects. "We need a good lead story for the style section. Write a notice for the business page for tomorrow and turn it into a feature for Sunday. 600 words. Ed, can you find some pics?" Ed, who is fiddling with something off camera, sits up and leans toward his camera. "Sure. I took plenty of good ones for Rashima's review last year." Today's conversation has left me in the dumps. I can't deny it. The stories are so sad. People are dying. They're losing their jobs, their businesses. Food giveaways attract long lines of people, socially distanced, of course. Our business writer, Sian, keeps comparing the economy now with the Great Depression. And then I look at Dan in his little square at the bottom of the grid. The troubles of this pandemic have hit one of us really hard. And no one except me is even aware of it. I text him. "Meet for lunch?" I know in-person gatherings are still a bad idea, but yesterday's impromptu meeting has made me hungry for more. He texts back, "Thanks, but I can't. Tons of phone calls to make." "Virtual happy hour later, then?" "We'll see. TTYL. I toss the phone aside. I want what I can't have. That's the truth of it. It's Jonathan Taylor Thomas all over again. I'm falling in love. No, I didn't really think that, did I? I'm crushing on someone out of my reach. "Mommy, I can't figure this out." Laurie stands at my elbow, still in her pajamas, her hair a tangle of knots. I'm turning into a negligent parent, I think, as I try to smooth her two long tresses. "Shouldn't you have changed into something other than pajamas by now, babe?" "Oh." She looks down at the pink knit outfit populated by white and blue bunnies. "I forgot." I give her the mom stare. She ignores it. "Could you please show me how to do this? Then I'll change." I've got to hand it to my daughter. She's learning how to negotiate like a pro. All right. I take the paper and pencil from her hand. She knows this stuff. It's number lines all over again. She can teach me how to use them. It doesn't matter. What she wants, I decide, is a moment with mom. I pull over a kitchen chair with my foot so she can sit close, and we work out each and every problem together. To tell the truth, she shows me how it's done. I liked math, but Lori's good at it. When she's filled in the last answer, she looks up at me and beams. Now can we have lunch? We made a deal. I give her that stare again. She smiles and adds, after I change? She gallops off to her room and I start smearing peanut butter on bread. When my phone jangles, my heart leaps as I hope Dan is texting me. No, it's Hannah. And the news might be bad. We've hit a snag. I don't even think about texting her back. Instead, I hit her phone number. I don't know what to do, she answers. No hello, no how are you. Tell me. If anything else can go wrong with the wedding, I worry she might call it all off. Certain the universe thinks their wedding is a bad idea. It's our rings. Both of them are planning to exchange antique rings. Matt is giving Hannah his grandmother's simple gold band. Hannah's grandfather didn't wear a wedding ring, but had a signet ring, heavy and etched with the family seal, that he always wore on his left hand. It fit Matt without any adjustment. You didn't lose them? Oh, no. Well, no. Not really. We know where they are. We just can't get them today. The story tumbles out, my friend nearly breathless and horrified that they didn't think of it before the day they leave to get married. They bought a house right before the pandemic lockdown, a pretty cottage with lots of trees in the backyard. Before moving in, Hannah took the rings to her bank and put them in a safe deposit box, where they still are. There's no one at our little branch today. We can't get our rings. I hear the despair in my friend's voice. You don't need rings to get married, though. Yes, we do. Hannah, you have the man. You have the marriage license. You have the venue. You have the minister. You can still get married tomorrow afternoon on the mountainside by the river just the same. Exchange the rings when you can get the bank to open for you. It will be a special moment for just you two. And the bank teller, Chica, there's something else. Maybe the universe doesn't want Hannah and Matt to get married after all. The minister has backed out. Since the number of cases of COVID-19 keep rising, he's decided it's not safe to come. News stories always start with the most important fact. Hannah prefers to start small and then go with the big stuff. So you're telling me you don't have anyone to officiate at the wedding? Nope. I know an internet officiant, but he lives too far away. Matt's sister has two little kids, so she can't do it. What do you need? Can you do it? What do you mean? Go on the internet. Get ordained. Then you can come tomorrow and be our officiant. I'm already sitting down at my laptop typing in the words how to become an internet officiant. I glance through the search engine's results. Anyone who feels so called can become a minister within seconds. Free, easy, legal. All words that might mean I can go to the wedding after all. I'll need to perform a ceremony, give a sermon, or say a few words. Make it meaningful and memorable by tomorrow afternoon. It's a lot to do. I have to pack, too. What should I wear? What's the weather going to be like? It's pouring rain today. I'll need shoes for mud. My mind is racing so fast with all the things I should do, I haven't even answered Hannah. Jess, are you listening? I chuckle, a little embarrassed, a little excited. Sorry, Hannah. I was already making my to-do list. What do you need? I should have known Hannah already had a huge set of requirements, down to the navy blue suit I wore to their engagement party. I jot everything down as I pour a glass of milk, cut Lori's sandwich in half, and place it in front of her. She's in the pink leotard, as usual. I wasn't even expecting to attend the wedding. Since their plans were practically an elopement, I had resigned myself to witnessing my very best friend getting married on an online chat platform. Now, it looks like I'm going to be the one to officiate as they tie the knot. Hannah signs off, sounding just as she should, as an excited bride. It isn't the wedding of her dreams, but it's the man she dreams of sharing her life with. I couldn't be happier. Mommy, was that Tia Hanna? Oh, hell, I forgot something, didn't I? Would it be okay to take Lori? Would it be safe for her? We haven't gone past our block in more than a month. She hasn't even seen her grandparents or her friends. Yes, that was Tia Hanna. She's getting married tomorrow, remember? But we can't go, right? Because everything's closed, right? She's tearing the crust of her bread in little bits, so I carry the plate away and take the last clementine out of the refrigerator. I better get some groceries, too. I have a lot to do before tomorrow. Tia Hanna and Matt have decided to have a little wedding since everybody can't come. You can watch it on Zoom, just like you watch Mrs. Gambino when you have math class. Oh, unimpressed, she hops out of her chair and asks to be excused. You don't want the clementine? No, thanks. You can have it. I sit down at the crumb-sprinkled table and start filling out the online form to be ordained. Father Jim will laugh when he finds out one of his parishioners has become a minister of the United Church of the World Wide Web. I reach for my credit card. Of course I want the official certificate, but pick up my phone instead. Mom, do you think you could watch Lori tomorrow? I retell the long saga of Hanna and Matt to my mother. She's sympathetic, but how I hate that little word. My doctor told me no. I wish I could, Jess. You know how I miss that little sweetie. I could send your father over. I almost say yes, but realize that wouldn't be right either. Maybe I'll take her with me. Don't you dare. My mother's a little freaked out about this virus. Worried that people aren't being as careful as they should. Afraid it's going to kill everyone. I won't. I'll think of something. Thanks, Mom. I hardly put the phone down when it buzzes. I'm sorry. It's Dan, but I can't imagine what he's apologizing for. Hi, Dan. I was rude earlier. I shouldn't have brushed you off the way I did. You're busy, I understand. He's silent for a long time. It's just that he pauses. Sometimes you just have to wait. So I do. I'm starting to care for you, Jessica. But we hardly know each other. I know. I've seen you every day for a month, but only in person, what, twice? I'm surprised, not surprised, because I'm thinking the same thing. Yesterday changed everything. I saw the tough reporter's soft side, vulnerable side. Me too. I practically whisper the words because it's so hard to say them. My relationships with men haven't been too good. My only boyfriend was the love of my life until he left me pregnant and alone. Last year I got mugged when I tried for the very first time to venture out on my own. I don't take chances anymore. Or I didn't until now. I figure a tentative baby step won't hurt anything. You mean? He sounds surprised. I haven't been the nicest of colleagues. I thought you were merely tolerating me. Well, that's absolutely true. You've been quite annoying. But sometimes you have your moments. So I guess it's too late for lunch. Can we meet for a drink later? You and Laurie, I mean. I get that little Jonathan Taylor Thomas lightness in my heart. And then I remember everything I have to do before tomorrow, including find someone who can watch Lori. I'm afraid my plans have changed. I fill Dan in on the latest news from my ordination to the locked-up wedding rings. I leave out the babysitting duty. I'll call my sister Kate later. We haven't had a chance to catch up since she's been working at home with her children. So what are they going to do about rings? Well, they aren't required. They'll exchange them in the presence of a bank teller next week. That's such a nice part of the ceremony. Why is Dan arguing with me? After all, I've just read up on the requirements for a wedding. They can't get them in time, so there's no point in worrying about them. It's just that I inherited my grandparents' rings. I could lend them to the happy couple if you think that would help. Wow, that's what I think and that's what I say. Wow, that's so nice. I could bring them by if you want. A cold chill runs through me. I don't take chances anymore. But I also just told him I had feelings for him and sort of told him. Somehow, though, I'm not ready yet. My shields go up, way up. I won't tell him how hard it is or why, but I don't want to invite him over yet. I'm still happy with public places. Tell you what, Lori keeps asking me if we can meet up with Rex in the park. I'm sorry she never mentions Rex's owner. How about after we turn our stories in? Rex doesn't care about my schedule. We'll be in the park about 5:30. Can you make that? Okay, great. And Dan, thanks. You're the best. I've been waiting for you to say that. There he goes again, arrogant reporter. Even if I agree, which I do, I'll never tell him. Ah, okay. See you then. Don't forget the rings. I've got a busy afternoon ahead, but my heart is beating with a new happiness. My best friend is getting married, and I'll be there. My coworker is falling in love with me, even though we're working from home. I'm surrounded by romance. I dial my sister's number. Hey, Kate. How are you holding up?